Well, we're on a journey that we call Route 66, a journey through the Bible. And for those of you who have not been with us before, we're dealing with each book of the Bible over a couple of years' time. And tonight we're in the book of Deuteronomy. We are not planning to do most of these on back-to-back Sunday nights, but we juggled the schedule a little this time because of the Ethiopia presentation I did a couple of weeks ago. So Numbers last week and Deuteronomy this week. Then we'll take a break for a week or so on our journey. We appreciate your interest and your comments, and would remind you that there is information on the website, both a lesson as a whole and a podcast, which is a shorter version, and some written things as well. Well, I need to tell you at the beginning that Deuteronomy is my favorite book of the Old Testament. From the time that I first studied it seriously in the early 1980s to this day, I continue to be impressed by its message and stirred by its relevance for us even today, so many years after it was spoken by Moses. Early on, Moses made an excuse. God was calling him to lead his people, and Moses whined a little and said that he was not and never had been eloquent, but he was slow of speech. God said he would take care of that. Later, Stephen, in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 7, points out that Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians and was a man of power in speech and in words, or in deeds. Well, I think Deuteronomy, which is a record of Moses' speeches for all practical purposes, shows that Stephen was right about that. It is possible that Moses developed his speaking ability over time, but I will tell you that Deuteronomy is a majestic and moving work, and it is worthy of our time and careful attention. It is far more than a second presentation of the law, as the title indicates, Deutero meaning second, and nomos, a word for law. It is far more than that. It is a record of Moses' speeches that he gave to the people of Israel just before they entered the promised land. And Moses would not be going with them due to his own sins. He was 120 years old when he spoke these words. He was standing before Israel in the plains of Moab, just east of the Jordan River. And he spoke according to all the Lord had commanded him to give them, as the text reads in chapter 1, verse 3. Moses spoke with love, and he spoke with passion. And perhaps, I think, a tinge of regret that he would not set foot in the land that he had heard about and thought about for so long. But he wanted the people to go, and he wanted them to go successfully and faithfully. And so he spoke clearly and forcefully, urging the people to obey God and to enjoy the blessings that God had for them and would give them. So I invite you tonight to listen to Moses along with me, and let's understand the message of this wonderful and majestic book. Let's begin with looking briefly at the contents of the book of Deuteronomy. It was a time for Israel to remember the past, to plan for the near future when they would go into the land, and to commit themselves to God. So in short, Moses tried to do all of these things. He helped the people look backward from where they had come, because there are things to learn from that perspective. He helped them to look onward to what lay ahead in the land that they were about to possess as a gift of God. And most significantly of all, he urged them to look upward to God, who pledged to be with them and to bless them. Moses was urging a rather small and inexperienced nation to commit itself wholeheartedly to the Lord. What Moses said in that setting provides a model and motivation for us. And that's one attraction I have to the book. It is motivation and a model to renew our commitment to God, to face the future with confidence and hope and trust, that we too will participate in God's wonderful blessings and take hold of His great promises. Some days are dark, and some situations are difficult, but we can look at the contents of Deuteronomy and be encouraged and be built up in our faith and in our trust as we look at what Moses was saying to the people of old. We can look at the content of Deuteronomy in a couple of ways, and I want to do that with you now. First, by means of looking at it simply as the speeches of Moses, three of them that dominate the book, each marked out by citing the location and the setting in which the speech was given. So you see the breakdown on the chart behind me. Basically, chapters 1 through 4, a speech that he gave across the Jordan in the land of Moab, as it is said in the first few verses. Then chapters 5 through 28, the speech across the Jordan in the valley opposite Beth Peor. And then chapters 29 to 32 in the land of Moab. But more significantly than where the speeches were given is the content of what he said in each of those speeches. The first speech, chapters 1 to 4, is oriented to the past. It recounts Israel's journey from Sinai through the wilderness and onto their present location. I mentioned last week in our study of Numbers that it could have been about a 4-month journey, and it turned out to be a 40-year journey. And it could have been one generation, but they died in the wilderness because of their unbelief, and it was the next generation. And so he talks about the past and where they had come from to the place where they were now enter Canaan. Now the second speech, chapters 5 through 28, is oriented to the future. It concerns Israel's life, that they would live in the land, and especially gave emphasis to the law that would direct, guide, protect, and preserve the people as they lived in the land. Then the third speech, 29 to 32, is oriented toward the present. And that is, Moses was leading his people to covenant renewal with God. They needed to look at the past. They needed to look at the challenges of the future. And in it all, they needed to have commitment to God. They needed to be true to their covenant relationship with Him. And so that's one way to view the contents of the book of Deuteronomy. There's another interesting way to look at it that I want to get before you now, and that is to view it as a covenant document. Covenant is a major theme in all the Old Testament, as God made a relationship with His people and pursued that relationship, developed that relationship. There's a lot of application we can make to that, to our relationship with God today. It's possible to view Deuteronomy as a covenant document. And what leads us to come to that conclusion is discoveries that have been made of ancient treaties, especially of the Hittite nation, in what are known as the Hittite suzerain treaties. And that has shed a lot of light on the form of Deuteronomy. You see on the chart behind me the basic outline of the Hittite suzerain treaty. A suzerain was an overlord who would conquer a smaller nation and would set the terms of the treaty. And there would be a preamble or an introduction, a historical prologue where they had come in their relationship with each other, then the stipulations of the treaty, followed by the curses and the blessings, the curses if you keep it, the blessing, the curses if you break it, and the blessings if you keep it. And then arrangements for the treaty, people or gods in the case of these Hittite treaties who were witnesses, called on as witnesses, and provisions for reading it. Well, it's impressive and quite remarkable to see that Deuteronomy follows this form. It seems that the writer used a conventional literary structure of the day. He used an outline that people of that day were familiar with to give shape to the book of Deuteronomy. And I presented the outline behind me. The preamble would be chapters 1 to 5, and you can read the rest. And there's no reason to scratch that down really quickly. I think this will be on the website, and you can get it there. So on the one hand, we just have the speeches of Moses as he spoke to his people. But on the other, the shape of it has to do with a covenant document, because it is largely a covenant renewal that Moses was after as he was speaking to these people, that they go into the land with full commitment to God. After all, it was a new generation, and they needed to learn from the mistakes of the past and forge a better and a greater future for themselves. As far as content is concerned, there's one other view of Deuteronomy that I want us to take a look at. It is not of the whole book, but it is the central section of the book, especially chapters 5 to 26. And more particular than that, chapters 12 to 26. And here's what I mean by that. When you read those chapters on first sight, they seem to be sort of a random collection of laws. And we are hard-pressed, in the first reading anyway, to find any rhyme or reason to the presentation of those laws. But a closer look shows that what may be happening is that the section, especially chapters 12 through 26, is an exposition, an application of the 10 words, or the Decalogue, the 10 Commandments is the term we know them better as. The 10 Commandments are presented in chapter 5, found two places in the Old Testament, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And then what appears to be happening is, in chapters 12 through 26, that these chapters give an exposition and application of the law. So, for example, you shall have no other gods before me, God says in chapter 5, verses 6 to 7, is explained and applied in chapter 12, verses 1 to 21. No idols is explained and applied. It's a section about loyalty in chapter 13, verses 1 to 19. And on, you'll see the first five and then the second five. So the Ten Commandments, an exposition of them in those chapters. And again, I'm planning to put that on the website for those of you who want that for your notes. So, one thing that impresses me about that is that these books have some structure. It's not always easy for us to see it in our first or second reading, but the more you read and the more you get some help from other people sometimes who see things that we don't see, the more impressed you become with the structure of the book. Well, the main thing we want to get to tonight is the message of the book. It is a covenant renewal document that has to do with the speeches of Moses. But what is the message? Well, we've tried to emphasize, and I want to again this evening, and you'll hear this many times, that when you read a book of the Bible, the first question we always need to ask is, what does this book say about God? That's right. It's His revelation. He is disclosing Himself. And so what does the book say about God? Well, Deuteronomy is clear evidence of the fact that God is still with His people, and He is with them because He wants to be, because He is gracious, because He loves them. He delivered them from slavery in Egypt. He directed them out of Egypt, down to Sinai, where He directed them even more specifically with His law, and then He directed them through the wilderness and all of that incident of their disobedience and distrust. And He disciplined them there in the wilderness, but now He is still with them. They haven't always been with God. They have forsaken Him. An entire generation died in the wilderness because of their unbelief and disobedience, but God is still with His people. He had entered a covenant a long time ago with Abraham, and then with Isaac, and then with Jacob. And He had never forgotten that covenant, and He had not turned back from it. Sometimes it probably looked like He had, but He had not forgotten it. He had to deal with His people's fear. He had to deal with their lack of faith. But He did not abandon them, or He did not abandon the promises He had made to them. I want to read you a little from Deuteronomy chapter 7 about this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments. God is still with His people. He chose them in His sovereign love, and He faithfully stayed with them by His enduring grace every step of the way. He is a great and powerful and loving God. Listen again to Moses as he speaks about God. You know, Moses had a special relationship with God. God spoke to him face to face like He did with no other. And Moses sort of returns some of that, I think, in these eloquent words that he says about God. Chapter 4, verse 32. Indeed, ask now concerning the former days which were before you, since the day God created man on the earth, and inquire from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything been done like this great thing? Or has anything been heard like it? Has any people heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire as you have heard it and survived? Or has a God tried to go to take for himself a nation from within another nation by trials, by signs and wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, as the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, he is God. There is no other besides him. Out of the heavens he lets you hear his voice to discipline you. And on earth he lets you see his great fire. And you heard his words from the midst of the fire. Because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them. And he personally brought you from Egypt by his great power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance as it is today. Know therefore today, and take it to your heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. I think Moses has a great relationship with God, a deep, faithful relationship with God, and he wants to impress that upon his people. God doesn't forget his promises. He doesn't forget his people. And when the way is dark and foreboding, and when we wonder, where is God? And does he care? And is he interested in me? Deuteronomy is a powerful reminder of his love and grace, his presence and his power. He has a good track record, and we can trust him, and we should. Deuteronomy also makes clear that God has a word for his people. Not only is he their God, but he has the ability and takes opportunity to speak to his people. You see, the covenant that he made was both promise and law. And by his words, he defined and structured and governed the nation. So at Mount Sinai, he spoke in the hearing of all the people. Not just Moses to begin with, but he spoke in the hearing of all the people. He wanted to impress them with some things about himself. And he did. Listen to chapter 5, verse 22. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain from the midst of the fire, of the cloud and of the thick gloom, with a great voice, and he added no more. He wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And when you heard the voice from the midst of darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen today that God speaks with man, yet he lives. Now then, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer, then we will die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God says. Then speak to us all that the Lord our God speaks to you, and we will hear and do it. We heard God, and we got the point. And we were terrified. And please, make it possible where we won't hear that anymore. You go listen to him and tell it to us. And that's what God did. He spoke to Moses. And Moses spoke to the people. And later on, as we find in chapter 18, he arranged to speak to his people perpetually through prophets and others. So God is a God who speaks his word. He explains himself. He gives his law. He expresses his will and tells people about himself. And he wants people to keep this before them. And he arranged for that to happen. So we read in chapter 27, verses 1 to 8, that as soon as they crossed the Jordan, there was to be this ceremony on Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim in which the blessings and the curses would be pronounced and agreed to. And then the nation was to set up large stones and coat them with lime. And you know what they were for? They were to write all the words of this law on the stones so they would always be before the people. And then when Moses finished all his work according to chapter 31, 9 to 13, he wrote the law, he entrusted it to the priests and the elders of Israel, and he commanded that it be read every 7 years in the hearing of the people. So they had the stones before them, and they had the reading of all the law of God every 7 years before them. God was making provisions that they could hear now and always. And how blessed we are to have God's voice, his revelation, in one volume. We must never take that for granted. We must hear and listen. Never think of doing anything less than that. So, what does the book say about God? He is a God of promise. He is a God who is present with his people. He is a God who speaks to his people, and he wants them to keep his word before them. Another point about the message of Deuteronomy has to do with the land and what people were to do about that. It was the land of promise. For many years, God had been promising that he would give them a good land and that it was a gift from him. It would be their inheritance. In fact, I'll turn to chapter 8 just a moment and read just a few verses, beginning at verse 7, chapter 8, verse 7. Listen to this description of the land. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you are eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. And not only that, but it was the land that God cared for in a special way. Chapter 11, verse 12, just one verse. A land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from beginning even to the end of the year. God was giving his people this land, and they were about to enter it. But Moses made it clear that their possessing the land, taking it for themselves, and living in it effectively and successfully depended not just on God, but it depended on them and how they listened to his commands. Chapter 11, verse 8. You shall therefore keep every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land in which you are about to cross to possess it, so that you may prolong your days on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land in which you are entering to possess it is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you used to sow your seed and water it with your foot like a vegetable garden, but the land in which you are about to cross to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and the description that we read just a moment ago. So God is saying to them, you must listen to what God says. And if they don't listen, they're going to lose the land. Chapter 11, verse 13. It shall come about that if you listen obediently to my commands, which I'm commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and soul, that he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and oil. He will give you grass in your fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Beware that your hearts are not deceived, and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord your God is giving you. He is plain and clear. God is giving you the land. It is your inheritance. It is the land of promise. It is his gift. And his eyes are on it in a special way. But for you to have it and enjoy it and benefit from its blessings, then you must listen to the commands of God. And you must follow him carefully. If you don't, the land will not be productive and you will eventually lose it. There's a great and important principle there for all of us who want to enjoy the blessings of God. Well, finally, when we talk about the message of Deuteronomy, it is a book in which Moses emphasizes the fear and love of God. You can just imagine this great man of God who had led these people through thick and thin, good times and bad. Sometimes it had been so difficult and they had gotten under his skin. And he had lost it a time or two with them. But he loved them, and he wanted the best for them, and he was not going with them. And so he stood to try to shape their hearts and influence their minds and build their faith. And so he says a great deal about the fear of God, reverence for him. And he shows that this fear is being afraid, it's being terrified, it's being in dread, it's being frightened. But also it is being humble and broken and reverent before God. Chapter 6, verse 24 is a good place, I think, to see a little about fearing God. Chapter 6, verse 24, "So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us." I think a good way to look at it is a fear that hovers between dread and devotion, between repulsion and attraction. It is a solid, healthy respect for God. And it is to be coupled with love. Fear and love is a message that Moses certainly brought before the people. Love was on his mind in the whole book. God's deep love for his people. He loved you. He set his love on you. It was sovereign love. It was not because you were great or good. It was because God loved you that you're a people today. And not only did he love you then, but he's kept loving you through the wilderness, through all the ups and downs and ins and outs and problems and difficulties. He has kept loving you. He has set his love on you, and nothing has turned him back from that. And you are to love him. You are to love him as a response to his remarkable love. And it is not just sentimental love, but it is intelligent love. It is a love from the heart, deep and abiding and obedient. So chapter 6, verse 4, the most famous quotation from the book of Deuteronomy, made famous by Jesus himself, when somebody stood up and said, "Well, what's the greatest commandment in the law?" And he quotes Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. I'll begin at verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them to your children in all situations." I want to turn to one more about love in chapter 10, verse 12. "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today, for your good." In our study and teaching the Old Testament, we have often overlooked this dimension. Sometimes we make broad, sweeping conclusions that in the end are just incorrect or at least insufficient. We would say things like the Mosaic Law was completely external, or they were outward forms of obedience. But that is not now, nor has it ever been, God's intention or his way of dealing with his people. It is true that some of the laws have to do with clean and unclean, and they have to do with things outside as well as inside. But all of it is to be understood and done from the heart. Just read Deuteronomy carefully and circle the word love when you see it, and you can't miss that message. Well, we're looking at three crucial questions in our journey along the way. What is the book? What's the key to understanding the book, or keys? What does the book say about God, and what does it say to us today? I think it's important for us to see the setting of Deuteronomy. It is a pivotal place, a transition for God's people. They've been wandering in the wilderness. They've come from Egypt to Sinai and then to Kadesh, where they wandered for 40 years. They're going to stop wandering and start living and settling in the land of promise. That would be a transition. It was also a transition from the leadership of Moses to the leadership of Joshua, because Moses would die and Joshua would take over. And so it is a time of transition. Despite the name of the book that makes us think it's just a law, And not only a law, but a repetition of the law. I mean, how much drier, duller than would you get than not only saying the law, but saying it all over again? Well, unfortunately, the name of the book makes us think that at times, but we must recognize that it is not just that. It is a record of Moses' passionate speeches to his people. He is preparing them. He's warning them. He's encouraging them. He wants them to live life in the land faithfully and successfully and enjoy all the benefits of God. And so it's important to see that he is trying to get them to renew covenant with God, to be committed, to be excited, to be faithful to the Lord. It is a covenant renewal document binding God and his people together in a relationship of grace and law and fear and love. It says about God that he's patient and he's powerful. He's gracious and he's serious. He's all of those things. Just read Deuteronomy. He directs his people and he disciplines them. He gives them a great land. And he warns them if they don't listen to him, he'll take it away. He is God who blesses, and he is God who curses, depending upon what his people do about his will. Can any message be more relevant or more needed than that? That God is patient and powerful and gracious and serious. He directs and disciplines his people. He says, if you listen to me and follow my will, and keep covenant in a loving way, my blessings will be yours. But if you break and forsake, you'll lose it all. I think for us today, Deuteronomy certainly reminds us of the first and greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all you are, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Surely we must be impressed with God who loves his people. And because he loves them, he directs his people. And he wants his word before them all the time. It is serious. It is serious business to listen to and obey God. He is a God of wonderful grace and deep love who wants people to be his people and does everything to make that possible. But he doesn't just turn his loving head the other way and say that sin and rebellion doesn't matter. It does matter. He's made provisions for its forgiveness, and he's directed us away from it if we listen to his words. He promises, he delivers, and he perseveres because he wants us to have his great blessings. And he asks us to love him and to fear him, to love him from our hearts, and to believe in him, trust him, and do his will. And I want to say to us today, because there's a lot of talk in the religious world about legalism, to love God and to listen to him and to be serious about his way and will is not legalism. That's love. When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you don't play fast and loose with his word. You're serious about it. To know it, to obey it, and to teach it to our children. I want to end by Moses' great words in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Just listen. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land which you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. to give them. And in our journey tonight, I have tried to set before us today life and death, the blessing and the curse. And I urge us all to choose life that we may live by loving God and obeying His voice. If we can help you do that, I'm going to be down to the front, and I'll assist you in whatever way you need to bring your life to God and His will. Let's stand and sing to encourage each other to that end.